Again, God bless y'all and welcome in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, the one that went to the cross for us. And now we can have eternal life. A very serious thought as we start this journey, requiring our hearts to hear from on high. Scripture says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this knowledge that we know who is the King of glory. We thank you for your darling son, Jesus, that you sent down here to show us the truth, the way, and the life. We thank you, Father, for without him, we would be lost in our sins. And so we come this morning as humble as we know how, as humble as a human being can get, with our minds focused on heaven, Lord God, to thank you, Lord God, in our own little way for the mercies you showed upon us. You called us from darkness to your marvelous light. You spared us the burdens of sin. You freed us, Lord God, that we can walk in the newness of life. And for that, we are eternally grateful. We thank you, Lord God, for those mundane things like our health and our strength and our being in this kingdom, Lord God. And we don't count it as our home, but that we're only sojourning through this kingdom. And this is not our home. And we thank you for that. For this, if it was, would be a sad place to live. Thank you, Lord God, that we've been called out. We are the elect of God. You called us one by one and name by name. Your word says that you know the Father knows you, and you both know us by name. And this morning we stand in awe. What a wonderful God that has called us, that took the sovereignty that he has and chose us out of this dark world. And for that, we're grateful, Father God. We thank you from the bottom of our heart. We pray, Lord God, that you'd help us to grow in the knowledge of you and to be obedient, for no one will see the kingdom who disobeys you. And so we thank you, Lord God, that even though we sin and fall short of your glory, but we're marching toward Zion, that beautiful city above, Lord God, the one that you have prepared for us. And your son Jesus says that I go to prepare a place for you, and where I am, you will be also. And so we humbly say thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, for this flock, that you are increasing each individual, each family with knowledge of who you are, that we can walk upright before you, that we can stand in the presence of an evil world and let them know that we are the light of the world. We're not on a hill hidden under a bushel, but we are openly shining for you, Most High God. We are your ambassadors in this kingdom, and we thank you this morning. Give you all praise and honor. Thank you for returning my wife and Deaconess Freeman back home, Lord God. We thank you that your word says that the prayers of the righteous prevaileth much. And so we thank you, Lord God, for all those families that we've lifted up this week. For the family out that Dee spoke of who lost a child, Lord God. We pray this morning that you continue to strengthen them, Lord God, and to guide them in the path of righteousness, Lord God. And likewise for the lady that was having trouble with her husband, Lord God. We ask that you give her power from on high, that she'll turn to you, Lord God, and that D will be the instrument to show her the truth, the way, and the light to walk unto you. We thank you, Lord God, that you brought Brother George from the state he was in to where you have him this morning, because we know you are the sustainer, that you're able and you're capable of doing all things. Well, the lady that Nikki lifted up that had a problem, we pray for him this morning. We pray, Lord God, that your peace will rest on all who believe. Now, Lord God, I ask that you enlighten our spirits, that we will hear from on high, and that you will give me the power of your Holy Spirit to proclaim your gospel. simple, plain, and true. Thank you, Father, on behalf of this flock. We pray these blessings in the name of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
And thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God is a good God, is he not? And this morning I want to get right into our text, which comes out of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. If you have it, would you say amen?
Amen.
I'll read it to you from the New American Standard Bible. Most of you will be reading it from the NIV. And I'll only read verse 6, but I encourage you to go through this entire sixth chapter, in particular verses 3 and down to verse 10, which deals with the error and greed, which is a prevailing thing in this kingdom today. Can I get a witness? But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accomplished by contentment. And this morning, the subject matter is the godliness with contentment. I thought about different titles for it. There are many that fit this category, but the word contentment is what you need to focus your attention on. You see, it is clear from the translation of verse 6 that Paul has intended all along to teach Christians a view about money and also about materialism. You see, the false teachers have provided a vivid contrast for this instruction today. If Paul felt his first reading needed to be taught concerning their outlook on this material possessions, I think today we need to know even more so about this matter of that we stretch ourselves to the max to obtain money and material or wealth in this kingdom. It is obvious that this is not a lasting thing because we're now having a record number of people losing their homes. And in a lot of cases, that was the only wealth builder that they had. All of their savings, which very few of us have any, are going down. I was pleased to see when I got went online that the Devil's Bank of America has put out a new little kazab on there where you can determine your net worth through that bank by hitting one button. And it'll bring up a chart, and what it'll do is it'll compare any credit cards you have with them, how much you have in money market accounts, and they will give you a pie and a bar graph, and so you can see what your net worth is. I'm happy to report mine was a minus. And I give God the glory for that because it fits right in with the text, although I'm going to work to change that. The secret is owe no man nothing but to what?
Nothing.
To love him. And, you know, the more I study God's word, the more I see what we're doing. We're in a fix we're in, not because of the Republicans or because of the fat cats on Wall Street. We're in this fix because we're disobedient. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
This is a godly matter. You see, one of the problems of mankind, church, is that we measure everything against this kingdom when we should be measuring everything against God's word. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Everything in all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. But we got this tendency to go by the cardinal way of doing things, and that way will lead us into total chaos and destruction. Paul this morning is really laying this out for us in a very short but concise and to the point word. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Compare it also to Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. I am not saying this because I am in need, For I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Did you get that? No matter what your condition is, if you're in foreclosure, if you can't get credit, all these things that are massing against mankind in this kingdom today, the word says, whatever your station is, wherever you find yourself, be content. Don't get all flustered and out of step. Because if you belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he's got your back. Can I get a witness? It had a prominent place in the philosophy back in Paul's day, and it has it today. And this philosophy is this self-sufficiency. You see, man got a real problem. We think that everything we do because of our intellect or our skills. Well, I stop by to tell you, and Paul lays it all out, is that godliness is with contentment. You can't have one without the other. Can I get a witness? You can assume that you can, but I stop by to tell you that's an ignorant assumption. It goes against the grain of what God has laid out. No one has contentment unless they have godliness. Work with me now, church. Contentment comes from within. You need to make a note of it. You will not find contentment external to your internal being.
Amen.
I don't care how much money you amass, what kind of car you drive, or what you think you know, and who you think you are. There are examples after examples that we see every day. Take the governor of the state of New York. This man rose up to the epitome or the pinnacle of political leadership and was on his way to be a candidate for president. But you see, the matter was he did not have godliness. And if you don't have godliness, you're setting yourself up for a fall. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And even though he thought he was content spending $4,000 for a night of ill repute, he found out now he's lost everything. If he steps out of his door, they're going to mock him. And if his wife comes out, they're going to speak behind her back and say all manner of evil against her. But my word says that if you are a child of the King, you have godliness. When that happens to you, it says you ought to rejoice. But when you're living in sin and iniquity, you have nothing but the wrath of God that will come upon you. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
We know in the scriptures we're told a different story from what the world tells us. You see, the Bible tells us that I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Philippians 4, 11 and 13. Thus, Paul is giving Christians a goal. A genuine relationship is the key. Can I get a witness? Not one where we say we belong to the King, but that we in fact honor him as King. If you bear with me, I hope that the word will come clear to you that you cannot combine worldly gain with godliness. If you don't watch yourself, the worldly gain will overtake you, and you will not see God for who he is or what he is. You'll focus all your attention on gaining or amassing worldly gains. And I stop by to tell you that Paul is telling us that unless you have godliness, you will not have any contentment. And we go through life chasing after material things. There is no value in materialism in God's kingdom. And for us to try to live that way here on earth is an abomination. For God has given us clear guidance that our goal should always be, and has always been, to find peace in the simplicity of the gospel. Listen to me. One of our problems today, church, is that we will not accept living a simple life. All believers must live a simple life. Know why? We should be not devoted to anything in this kingdom. My goodness, what else do we need to see? The politicians running for office, that they're scandalous, in my opinion. They don't care what they do to win. They'll talk about each other's mother in order to win. And that's what we have as leadership in this country. And what do? We fall prey to the same principles. Because we sit and determine which one is the one we want to vote for instead of turning our attention to the Lord and ask God to guide our hand when we elect who he wants. Amen, lights.
Amen.
You see, the groundwork that we need to have is a clear view of contentment. It's almost necessary for us to flip this concept that we find contentment, and each one of us has difference. I find it in a good meal, and some find it in money in the bank. Listen at me. There is no contentment in temporal things. Job in chapter 1, verse 27 says, and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord giveth, and the Lord has taken away, and may the name of the Lord be praised. Listen to me. You came here with nothing. You're going to leave here with nothing. So what makes it important to store up in your barns things that you can't take when you leave here? Y'all might as well say amen. We live for the moment. Believers are to live for eternity. Our focus should not be on temporal things, but on godly things in a godly way, and what pleases God and how God sees us. Word says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. You can't please God when you're trying to please this kingdom. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Ecclesiastes 5 and 15 puts it slightly different. It says, naked a man came from his mother's womb, and as he comes, so he departs. He takes nothing from his labor that he can carry in his hand. You will leave this plane of existence the same way you came in it, not with a dime. Found with great interest that the Pharaoh and a lot of Egyptian leaders were buried with all their possessions. And hundreds of thousand years later, when they go into these pyramids and open them up, that stuff is still there. Didn't go nowhere. Pilfered and taken. And then they're put on display in museums. Listen at me, church. You and I cannot afford the luxury of the devil by massing things and having them as our important parts. We're just headed for trouble. Can I get a witness?
Amen.